Luke chapter 15, and I'm going to read the first 7 verses. Then all the tax collectors and sinners drew near to him to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes complained, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So he spoke a parable. He spoke this parable to them, saying, "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbours, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost.' I say to you that likewise, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance." There are 3 parables in this chapter, all of them really making the same point, all of them a response to the criticism that Jesus receives in verse 2. This man receives sinners and eats with them. Now, this isn't the first time Jesus has faced this criticism. Some of you may remember some weeks ago when we looked at an incident in Matthew's Gospel, in Matthew chapter 9, when very similar words are used in criticism of the Lord Jesus. And the Lord Jesus on that occasion simply explained that he came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. But now, by the use of these parables, he goes a little bit further and brings home to our hearts, I hope, just what a heart the Lord Jesus has for those whom he came to call. So this evening we're just focusing on the first of these 3 parables, the parable of the lost sheep. We may look at the parable of the lost coin and the lost son another time. I haven't decided that yet. But for this evening, we're simply focusing on these first 7 verses. And let's begin by looking simply at the need of the sheep. Then we'll look at the heart of the shepherd. And then thirdly, we'll look at how the Lord Jesus then applies that in the final verse in this paragraph. So the need of the sheep. There's a lost sheep and she is in danger. Jesus speaks of the shepherd leaving the 99 in the wilderness and going after the lost one. And perhaps to us, that doesn't sound a very sensible thing to do. The 99 in the wilderness are going to be in danger, aren't they? I think we can reasonably infer that they are where they are in the wilderness because that's a safe place. Perhaps the shepherd has made some sort of fold, some pen to keep them in. In case it's the wilderness, not the desert, as it were, this is a place where there is some water for them to drink, where there is grass for them to eat. It's a place where they are in relative safety. At the very least, we can say without any imagination at all, they are there under the eye of the shepherd. That's where they're meant to be, but there's this one who has strayed. And a lost sheep is a sheep that is in danger. It's wandered off from under the shepherd's eye and is in a dangerous situation. It's unlikely to find a better place than where the shepherd has put it. I know the grass always looks greener on the other side. It's a common saying, isn't it? When Jenny and I were on a walk on holiday, we came up to a gated road, and next to that road was a field of sheep, and a couple of these sheep had got out of the field into the lane. There were a few bits of grass by the side, but there was far more grass in the field. But they had got out and were looking for something else. And they needed to be got back into the place of safety in the field. A sheep that gets out is in real danger. We were concerned that when we started going along that road, perhaps the sheep would run ahead in front of us and eventually get out onto the actual tarmac road and be in danger. and we'd be responsible for these sheep coming to a sticky end. At the very least, in the days when Jesus was speaking, these animals would have been in danger from wild animals if they were out of the sight of the shepherd. So a sheep that has wandered is a sheep that is in danger. A lost sheep, we might also say, is a fairly helpless sheep. I've read varying assessments of the ability of sheep to find their way home if they get lost. I'm told that some sheep, if they spent all their life in the same on the same hillside, they know that hillside and they will tend to find their way back. But others suggest no, generally sheep have a very poor sense of direction. And I know for myself, again from my holiday experience, that once you get lost, it can be very difficult to find your way back again. So I went on a 3 kilometre run that turned out to be 11 and a half kilometres because I got lost, and I'm not even a sheep. But sheep, I gather, generally speaking, are not able to find their way back if they have truly got lost. They do have a poor sense of direction, if not no sense of direction. And a sheep, if it becomes injured then, is a remarkably helpless animal. Many animals lick their wounds to get the dirt out of them, and as a healing process, sheep are not able to do that. A sheep, if it rolls onto its back, is helpless, vulnerable to being attacked from the air by crows and other large birds, or by other predators on foot. They're unable to get back on their feet without help. If they've fallen off a cliff, they're not good climbers. They can only await rescue. So the picture of a lost sheep is a picture of a creature that is in real need, isn't it? And plainly, Jesus intends us to understand that we are like lost sheep. Now, from what I've said, that's not a flattering description, is it? But it is a true one. It's a picture that is painted, or a simile that is used more than once in the scriptures. Isaiah, for example, in his most famous chapter, Isaiah 53, says, "All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way." And the psalm writer at the very end of Psalm 119 confesses to the Lord, "I have gone astray like a lost sheep." We have wandered away from God. By nature, we don't realise the danger that we're in when we're living a life apart from God. Sin both blinds us and traps us at the same time. But just as a sheep is a helpless animal when it's not under the shepherd's care, we're helpless when we're caught in the entanglements of sin and we can't escape. We're lost and helpless. And unless the Good Shepherd comes to find us, we can never be saved. So that's the plight of the sheep. That's our plight. By nature, we are wandering sheep who did not love the fold. By nature, we've turned astray and gone our own way and got ourselves in a dreadful mess. But let's move on and think about the heart of a good shepherd. Jesus is telling this parable to his hearers, clearly on the understanding that they will immediately recognise that this is exactly what a shepherd would do. He's not, in that sense, telling them anything new in telling them the story of a shepherd looking after his sheep. They would have been very familiar with this sort of scenario. And the shepherd, if he is really the shepherd of the sheep and not just a hireling like the man that Jesus speaks of in John 10 that we read earlier, this shepherd cares for each and every one of his sheep. If he has a flock of 100, he's not going to count to 99 and say, well, that's near enough. he will, I'm sure, first of all do a recount, but then he would not be content to know that one of his sheep has gone missing. He knows his sheep, after all, by name, as Jesus again said in John chapter 10. And he knows that if a sheep is missing, it's both his duty and, I'm sure, it's his, we might say, his compulsion to go and find these sheep. This is the natural thing to do. He can't afford to lose one of his precious sheep. And so, as Jesus says, he goes after the one which is lost until he finds it. In our English translation, they are words, almost all of them, of just one syllable, I think with one exception. It's a very simple phrase, very down-to-earth phrase, isn't it? Jesus uses an economy of words. But our imagination can easily, I'm sure, fill in the picture, can't we? He may have to cross rivers and climb mountains. He himself may be in danger from wild animals. We know that when David, the shepherd boy in the Old Testament, looked after his father's sheep, he on different occasions encountered both a lion and a bear coming to savage the fold. He will experience tiredness and loneliness as he treks up the mountain path looking for his sheep. But he keeps going out of concern for that sheep until he finds it. And Jesus would have us understand from this parable, as much as from his teaching in John 10, that he is that good shepherd. Remember, he is responding here to the criticism of his critics, the Pharisees and the scribes, that he eats with sinners, as they call them. The Pharisees looked down on those who were guilty of what we might term notorious sins and regarded them as deplorables, people that you really shouldn't want to have anything to do with if you have any self-respect. They're certainly not people to be befriended. And so their criticism of Jesus is that he was befriending these sort of people. But Jesus sees them not as deplorables, but as sheep without a shepherd. Yes, they're responsible for their own foolish waywardness. They're responsible for having wandered away from God. But they need a loving shepherd to bring them back. And Jesus is the good shepherd that wandering sheep need. That's how he described himself in that passage that we read earlier, didn't he? He's the good shepherd who gives his life for the sheep. He spares no pains and no efforts in going after the lost sheep to seek and to save that which is lost. Indeed, as he goes on to say, he didn't just give his life for the sheep, he laid his life down for the sheep, his precious sheep. And at what cost he did that. There's a lovely old poem, really. It was sung as a hymn by Sankey during the Moody and Sankey campaigns in the 19th century, by a hymn by Elizabeth Cliffane. Let me just read to you a couple of verses. Some of you will have heard them before. It's the hymn that begins, "There were 99 that safely lay in the shelter of the fold." Then she continues, "But none of the ransomed ever knew how deep were the waters crossed, nor how dark was the night that the Lord passed through ere he found his sheep that was lost. Out in the desert he heard its cry, sick and helpless and ready to die. Sick and helpless and ready to die. Lord, whence are those blood drops along the way that mark out the mountain's track? They were shed for the one who had gone astray ere the shepherd could bring him back. Lord, whence are thy hands so rent and torn? They are pierced tonight by many a thorn. They are pierced tonight by many a thorn. But all through the mountains, thunder-riven, and up from the rocky steep, there arose a cry to the gates of heaven, "Rejoice, I have found my sheep." And the angels echoed around the throne, "Rejoice, for the Lord brings back his own." He rejoices to find his lost sheep. That is a true reflection of the heart of the Lord Jesus. I say again, in mixing with those whom the Pharisees denounced as sinners, Jesus wasn't condoning their sin, but he was simply coming right where they were, sympathizing with their plight, coming to extricate them, to extract them from the mess that they are in. And just as a literal shepherd wouldn't berate the sheep for its folly, but would gently pick it up, lay it on his shoulders, and go rejoicing homewards, so the Lord Jesus rejoices in the salvation of every lost sheep. So we've looked at the plight of the sheep. We've looked at the heart of the shepherd. And let's look then thirdly at how the Lord Jesus applies it in verse 7. And in my notes I've put this under the heading of the response of the sheep. Do you see a sort of slight problem with the parable in this instance? It doesn't sort of quite seem to fit. Do you see what I mean? Let me try and point out the problem. Jesus says in verse 7, "I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance." But Jesus hasn't painted a picture of a sheep that's repented. He hasn't painted a picture of a sheep that has realised it's gone astray and turned its life around and come back to the shepherd. He's painted the picture of a shepherd who has come to where the sheep is. So how does that actually relate to repentance? Well, it relates to repentance like this. It's true, as the Apostle Paul preached in Acts 17, that God commands all men everywhere to repent. And that message needs to be heard loud and clear by our generation and every generation. Men and women, boys and girls, you need to repent and turn to God. But it's not a call that is issued by a God who is distant from afar, requiring us by our own ability to find our way back to God. Rather, God, in the person of his Son, has come down to bring us back. Try and imagine how a sheep feels and thinks when it's got hopelessly lost and perhaps has fallen over. Perhaps difficult to get into the mind of a sheep, but try for a few moments. Here's this sheep. She knows she's in a mess. She knows it's her own fault. She's perhaps saying to herself, "Well, why did I ever leave the shepherd's care?" She doesn't know the way home. She's hopelessly lost. She doesn't know if the shepherd even has noticed her absence. And then she hears the shepherd's voice. And then as she tries to turn her neck to see the direction that the voice is coming from, she sees a familiar figure coming over the hillside. And hope springs up in this silly sheep's heart. And she begins to baa at the top of her voice in anticipation of the shepherd coming to her aid. And so with us, we may know and regret the sin that we've done. We know it's our own fault. We know we can't get out of the mess that we're in by ourselves. And we may be hesitant to believe that God is willing to have us back until we hear the good news, which Jesus tells us in this parable, that the Good Shepherd has come to bring us back. The Good Shepherd himself has come. Then we repent and believe the good news. And so Jesus says, there is more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. Are you a lost sheep? Have you wandered far from God? Have you heard the voice of the Good Shepherd calling you? And as you hear his call, will you turn to him in repentance and faith? In the words of another hymn, Jesus ready stands to save you. Full of pity, joined with power, he is able, he is willing. Doubt no more. It's incredible to think that the angels in heaven rejoice when sinners repent. But it's true. If you just look down to verse 10, I'm struck by the wording of that verse as well, where it reads that there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. That implies it's not just the angels that are rejoicing, but God himself is rejoicing. He himself delights in the salvation of his people. God the Father is the one who sent his Son to be the Saviour of the world. God the Father is the one whom, as Jesus said in that passage that we read in John 10, has given his sheep to his Son. No one is able to snatch them out of his hand. There is joy in heaven over repentant sinners. More than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. Of course, there are no such people, really. There are none who are naturally righteous. If we are to be counted just, it must be clothed in the righteousness of somebody else, namely the Lord Jesus. But the point is clear, isn't it? Here are these Pharisees, these scribes, looking down on people whose sins are well known. Because they, you see, the Pharisees and scribes, are respectable. Their sins are hidden. And so they don't think they need to repent. But they need it just as much as anybody else. Have you faced up to the fact that you need to repent of sin? Whether your sins are hidden, whether they're well known. Whether they're sins that everybody would tend to make excuses for, or whether they're sins that others would regard as scandalous. There's no distinction made between those sort of sins in this passage. It's just that there's joy in heaven over one sinner who repents. I'm so thankful for the Good Shepherd who came to seek his sheep. Aren't you? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we would confess with the hymn writer, I was a wandering sheep. I did not love my home. I did not love the shepherd's voice. I loved afar to roam. We confess that we have gone astray like lost sheep. Seek your servants, for we do not forget your word. And we thank you that our Lord Jesus was willing to eat and to drink with tax collectors and sinners, because he came to find, to rescue, indeed to redeem lost sheep. And we pray, O God, that should there be one here tonight, one watching this service, who has come to realise that they have been a lost sheep. Oh, gracious God, may the angels in heaven begin their songs tonight as that one repents and embraces the Good Shepherd. Hear us, we pray, that Jesus may have all the glory. Amen. For our last hymn, we're deviating from the shepherd theme, but very much on the theme of God's wonderful grace to sinners. It's 487, Amazing Grace. Thank you. But stand for the benediction. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them who are sanctified. Amen. Amen. Thank you.